we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast, a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God, and my name is Bob Arthurs. I have the privilege of pastoring that church now for almost 25 years, and like many Pearl said, just so proud to be here. So we pray that you are having a great day. We want to invite you out Sunday morning, if you would, to come and hang out with us. We have got a missionary with us, Jeff Stout, a missionary. He's been working with young people on the continent of Europe now for several years. He is a product of Brevard County. I was his youth pastor his senior year in high school. A long, long time ago in a land far, far away known as Melbourne, Florida. And so if you want to come and hang out with him and hear what God has been doing with him, it's been absolutely amazing what God has used him to do in his last tour in Europe. And so that's coming up this coming Sunday morning. Really looking forward to him not only sharing what God has been doing in missions, but he is coming. He's bringing a fresh word from the Lord. And we're going to be blessed to see what God does on Sunday. We will return to our normal Sunday scheduling this coming Sunday night. We do have Sunday school at 9:30 on Sunday morning, worship at 10:30, and then we have our regular church service at 6:30. We are also going to our men's conference this afternoon and tomorrow, and so we're excited about men being on fire for the Lord, coming back. Just excited about the privilege and opportunity to serve him. So that's what is coming up this weekend. So it's a busy week for us. We're traveling today and getting back just in time to turn around and go back to Orlando tonight, come back home afterwards, turn right around and go and do it all over again tomorrow morning. And so as my presbyter once said, we can always rest when we get to heaven. And so that's what my schedule looks like. But we're going to get into the Word of God today. I want to remind you about JITS Concrete. If you need any concrete or block work done, they can be of great service to you. And I encourage you to give them a call. You can call us at the church and get their phone number. I did not bring it with me today. And so give them a call if they can be of any service to you, concrete or block work. And if you need their number, give us a call at the church, 321-454-4263. So today we are going to resume our study on the anointing, and we're going to talk about some real life aspects of the anointing. What does God look for in people that he anoints, and what are some things that people might think are a reality in people's lives, but in actuality may not be always what you will experience. So that's what we're going to look at today. And so I want to invite you to turn in your scriptures to 2 Samuel chapter 3. Let me set the stage for you here. Abner is negotiating with David to have the kingdoms united under David's rule. When Saul died, one of Saul's sons that was not killed in battle, he ended up sitting on the throne, and there was a fallout between him and Abner, and Abner decides that he is going to make sure that he does his part to see that the word of the Lord is fulfilled. And so he meets with David, and Joab finds out about this meeting, and Abner had killed Joab's brother in battle. And so verse number 26 says this: "And when Joab had gone from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, who brought him back from the well of Sirah. But David did not know it. Now when Abner had returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him privately, and there stabbed him in the stomach so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Afterward, when David heard it, he said, "My kingdom and I are guiltless before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and in all his father's house, and let there never fail to be in the house of Joab one who has a discharge or is a leper, who leans on a staff or falls by the sword or who lacks bread." So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had killed their brother Asahel at Gibeon in the battle. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, "Tear your clothes, gird yourselves with sackcloth, and mourn for Abner." And King David followed the coffin. So they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king sang a lament over Abner and said, "Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put into fetters. As a man falls before wicked men, so you fell." Then all the people wept over him again. And when all the people came to persuade David to eat food while it was still day, David took an oath, saying, "God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down." Now all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, since whatever the king did pleased all the people. For all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's intent to kill Abner, the son of Ner. Then the king said to his servants, "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And though I am weak, today, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, are too harsh for me. The Lord shall repay the evildoer according to his wickedness." There are some people that believe that once that God has anointed you, that you are never going to face any adversity. You are never going to find any circumstance that is beyond the scope of your control. And I want you to know that that just doesn't bear out as far as the Word of God goes. David was anointed, and he's recognizing his anointing. He has been ruling and reigning. He is very thankful. He has not forgotten what God has called him, and he is not doubting the effectiveness of the anointing of God. But what he does realize is that there are some people that he has aligned himself with. By the way, Joab and Asahel and Abishai, they were all cousins. Joab's father was the brother of David's father, Jesse. They were related. They were cousins. It was a family event. And, you know, I appreciate that one of David's nephews ended up being a person who killed a giant as well. And so there was a very effective military family that came from Jesse and his brothers. They were quite effective. But Joab did not share the same moral compass that David had, where, David refused to touch the Lord's anointing. Joab operated from a vindictive mindset. His brother had been killed during a battle. He was pursuing Abner when there was civil war after Saul had been killed, and part of the kingdom went to David and part of the kingdom went to Saul's son, and Abner was loyal to him. And so there was this tremendous battle, and the men of David were prevailing in the battle. And Asahel was very quick-footed. He was very fast runner, and he was pursuing Abner, but Abner was a more experienced military person, and he tried to get Asahel to quit pursuing him, and Asahel refused, and as a result, they ended up getting into a battle, and Abner won. And they continued pursuing Abner until Abner said, "How long are we going to continue to do this, until all Israel is destroyed?" And Joab relented at that point in time, but there was still this vindictive revenge mindset. You see, Joab was given an order at one point in time, and he didn't like the order, so he just didn't carry it out to the fullest extent of his capabilities. Now, it was an ungodly order, and so that was a fault on David. But Joab disobeyed the order simply because he didn't like the order. Joab would eventually side when Solomon was anointed with king. Joab would side with Amnon. And it was at that point in time that he met his demise. But David says about these sons of Zeruiah, he said, they are too powerful for me. He said, even though I am anointed king, because Abner has died, and he died in a manner that was not fitting for the quality of man that he was and for all that he had done for Israel, he said he died as a fool dies. He dies as a man who falls before wicked men. David wanted to make sure that everyone knew that he had no part in this assassination. And so he gained a great deal of respect. But there's this interesting statement, and he says, this day I am weak, though anointed king. And so I want you to know that as long as we live in a fallen world, there is going to be suffering. And I would encourage you that if you find yourself allied with ungodly people that are doing things that are against your orders, especially if you're the one in authority over that, that you deal with that situation earlier rather than later. You know, it depends on the caliber or the magnitude of the disobedience, but you know, so you need to pray and you need to seek God. But I will tell you this, that it's a lot easier to deal with problems when they're small problems than before they are magnified and become extremely large problems. And so David didn't do that. David did not deal with Joab even at this point in time. They end up assassinating another military commander when David tries to remove Joab, and the other person wasn't responding quickly enough. Joab assassinates him as well, and so the problems just keep mounting up. They keep piling up because David did not deal with the problem in its infancy. It became a full-blown power struggle, and I do believe that at some point in time, David, even though he was anointed king, he said, you know what, I think I'm just going to have to let someone else deal with this problem. Isn't that kind of an odd statement coming from somebody who had no problem facing a giant? And yet, because of this family situation, he says, I want you to know, I'm fully aware that I'm anointed king over Israel, but because of the actions that have taken place, I'm in a weakened condition. And so I do want you to know that you can be anointed, but there may be some challenges that come your way. And I encourage you that when those challenges come, you conduct yourself in a manner that is holy, that is befitting of a child of God, that is befitting the call of God upon your life. And you don't shrink back from that. Solomon had to come along when he was king, and he had to clean up this dysfunctional mess that was left because there was a person who was gifted militarily, but they had problems morally. Okay. And I don't want that to be me. I don't want to be a casualty that way. And I want to encourage you, make sure that you are dealing with the moral foundation of your life. Don't let the giftedness that you have become an excuse for complacency and failing to deal with the big problems. Okay. So how can we look at this? How can we apply this to our lives? And You know, like I said on yesterday's broadcast, Psalm 105, 115, it talks about the covenant people of God, that they are anointed ones, and God says, don't touch the anointed ones, you know, do them no harm. And so I want to encourage you to take a look at maybe some of the alliances that you have, maybe some things that you have permitted into your life, and maybe you feel almost related to them as if they're a very part of your DNA, but down deep inside, you know that they're displeasing. I have a friend of mine, and he was a, let me say it this way. He was a professional sinner. he was good at it. And all of a sudden, Jesus got a hold of his life. And when he got a hold of his life, this man became very, very active and hungry for the things of God. But there were some things that were part of his past that continued to be part of his present until one day in his prayer and his Bible study, God began to speak with him and deal with him about things that were going on in his life. And he said, you know what? These are things that you need to purge from your life. And he was being called into the ministry. He was pursuing ministry. He's in ministry today. But he was still very young in his faith at that point in time. And so the Holy Spirit came along and said, there's some issues in your life that we need to get out of your life because they are going to compromise your testimony if we don't get rid of them. And he said yes to getting rid of those things out of his life. I encourage you today, sin will not strengthen the anointing in your life. Sin will weaken it. Ungodly alliances, people who do not have the same agenda, people who do not have the same faith, people who do not have the same passion that you've got, you need to make sure that there are people that you are walking and marching in agreement with. Can two walk together unless they agree? I'm thankful for my wife and my daughters, and I'm thankful for all of those that are walking in agreement with us, that are pursuing the kingdom of God globally, but also here in Merritt Island. And so as long as there's agreement, we got no problems there whatsoever. When problems arise, when weakening occurs, is when there are people with different agendas. Joab had his own agenda and David had his agenda, and those two agendas were in conflict. And so today, if you are going through a struggle, I want to encourage you, don't sacrifice the anointing just to get past the struggle. Recognize the anointing that God has for you, and if there is something that is weakening you, that is undermining the agenda and the plans that God has for you, get that thing out of your life. It is too expensive. Listen, the truth of the matter is if Joab would kill that commander, and if Joab would kill another commander, if Joab would refuse David's orders just because he didn't want those orders to be carried out, if he was willing to do that, there was nothing that Joab wouldn't do. Joab was always about his agenda being greater than David's agenda. And so don't allow those sorts of things to weaken the anointing that you have and the call of God on your life. We've already talked about, we're going to look at some things here at the second half of the broadcast of what sort of characteristics and what benefits are there. What will God do for those that he has anointed and called to his specific purpose? And you are given, you are uniquely created and gifted by God for a divine purpose. You are consecrated and set apart for that which you were designed to do. In fact, you will hear people say, I was born to do this. Okay? And so Psalm 45:7, it says this, you love righteousness and hate wickedness, therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. We have already talked about when Saul was anointed king that it was his humility that that was a mark of distinction. He was little in his own eyes. David was considered such an unlikely candidate for to be anointed king that his father Jesse did not invite him to his own anointing service. Samuel looked on outward appearance, and God said, I don't need you to look on the outward appearance. I need you to look at the heart. That's what I'm looking for. And when David walked up, God spoke to Samuel and said, arise and anoint him. And he did. So you and I, we need to maintain that spirit of humility. But here in verse number 7, it says that there are two more characteristics that God is looking for in order for an anointing from on high to come. And it says, you love righteousness. You love righteousness and you hate wickedness. You love righteousness and you hate wickedness. Now, we live in a society that teaches us that righteousness is abhorrent and wickedness is to be celebrated. And we shouldn't be surprised about that. The Bible tells us that there was going to be a time when that would come, when people would call that which is good bad, and that which is bad would be called good. But even though man's dynamic changes, the formula, the character that God is looking for in order for him to anoint someone for his divine purpose that he created them for, there's a mindset that has to be adopted. And it doesn't matter if you're anointed to be king, if you're anointed to be pastor, if you're anointed to be president, if you're anointed to be a dog catcher, if you're anointed to be a godly mechanic or a godly construction worker, there is something that God is looking for, and that is not only humility, but it is loving righteousness, loving the reality of being in right standing before God and being in right standing before men and behaving in a manner that represents that righteousness. So let me ask you, is righteousness something that is optional in your life, or is it something that you love in your life? A couple of weeks ago, my wife cooked something for dinner, and it was absolutely amazing. It was better than food that I had had at restaurants, and I'd you know, a lot of times I'm not at the highest quality restaurants, but I had been at some very nice restaurants, and this meal was spectacular. It was fascinating. If you had asked me if I thought it would be one of my favorite meals, I would have told you no, because it didn't have all of the ingredients that I would typically like, but it was stunning. And my wife said, I didn't even think you'd like that because of one of the ingredients, and she didn't tell me what that ingredient was until I had eaten it the next day. So then that was on a Saturday night. I'd come home from church, and it was wonderful. My taste buds went to bed that night a very happy man. And so we came home from church the next night, and I said, you know, is there any of that dinner that was left over from last night? And she said, yes. And so she put that together, and there were a couple of ingredients that were missing. One, the carrots that were missing, and she had replaced them with green beans, which I like green beans. In fact, my wife cooks the best green beans on the planet. But it didn't taste the same. And she said, well, there was another ingredient, and I was completely out of that. And at that point in time, you know, it was okay. It just wasn't as good as it was before. And I want to describe to you that is the mindset that we need to have with righteousness. That we know that when we are doing life in accordance with the way that God describes it, that anytime we leave something out, partial obedience will not be as pleasing and as satisfying to us as complete and total obedience will. Just not being as wicked as someone else is not the standard. Wanting to be as much like Jesus as we possibly can be, that should be our standard. I want to encourage you today to love righteousness, because God anoints those who love righteousness, people who delight to do the will of God. There's also a second standard here, and that is to hate wickedness. Now that doesn't mean that you hate wicked people. It just means that you don't want to have anything to do with wicked behavior. You don't want it to have a toehold in your life. You don't want it to have a foothold in your life. You don't want it to have a stronghold in your life. You hate it and you want it out of your life. At one point in time, we lived in a very rural community in Texas. And the weather was getting colder and there was a huge pasture behind us. And when the weather turned cold, the field mice were looking for a place of refuge. Now, there were lots of places they could have gone. They could have gone to the barn. They could have gone to the sheds. They could have gone to the abandoned house next door. They could have gone a lot of places. But they made the mistake of coming into my house. And one night I got up and I saw one of them. And then from then on, the battle was on. And I didn't just want one of the mice gone. I wanted all of them gone. And so we declared all-out war on the mice that had invaded our home. We found that there were 32 of them. By the time we got all said and done, there were 32. And I did not want 30 of them gone. I didn't want 31 of them gone. I wanted 32 of them gone. All of them gone. And that's the mindset that we need to have with sin and wickedness in our life. I don't want some of pride gone. I want all of it gone. I don't want some wickedness gone from my life. I want all of the wickedness gone from my life. And you and I, we need to have that same mindset. If I offered you a bottle of water and I said, I want you to know that this water is 75% pure, it's only got one quarter of it that's toxic, I guarantee you, you wouldn't drink that water. Why would we want to tolerate sin and wickedness in our life? I encourage you today, love righteousness, hate wickedness, and you are going to find that God is going to anoint you for the unique purpose that He created you to accomplish, and it is going to be the greatest satisfaction you ever experienced. Hopefully we'll see you Sunday. If not, see you Monday right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
To be mad for my king, nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.